We have two Bible readings this morning, one quite a short one from Proverbs 12:18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongues of the wise bring healing. And if you'd like to turn to Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbour, who casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honours those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken.
Well, my name is Johannes, if I haven't met you before, and this is the sermon series that we're currently going through, looking at the good life. And I'm just going to give away the punchline. The spoiler is the good life is found in Jesus, and that's the ultimate answer. We're a community of people who follow Jesus, and I just loved hearing from Maz, loved hearing from you, Maz, and from just knowing we have missionaries right across the world, and then today as well on the day of prayer for the persecuted church, just knowing that the community that we're part of goes beyond our church here. And so as we become a community of people who are wise, who are walking in the way of wisdom and following Jesus, is not just for our own benefit and encouragement, but we actually have the chance to reach way beyond our own community, even if it's just in prayer. And of course, when Maz comes, we'll have that chance to be that community who refreshes and encourages and supports. And that's what we want for each other as well. So we are currently looking through the book of Proverbs. And last week, Dal showed us just the beginning of wisdom. What is wisdom all about? And one of the things that Dal said, I really love this as a summary of wisdom. Wisdom isn't just knowledge. Wisdom is living out the stuff that you know in everyday life. And it's not just any stuff. It's got to be based on a life of faith. Proverbs 9 verse 10 reminded us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So knowing what is wise begins with the fear of the Lord. And Dal explained to us how it's not the sort of fear like, I'm afraid of God, I'm scared of God, but it's the fear of the Lord that is standing in awe of God and respecting God, wanting to live our lives His way. It's about looking up to God instead of looking down on others. It's about looking to God's perfect ways instead of dwelling on our own imperfections. So as we live our lives in this fear of the Lord, we trust, we respect God, we begin to see what it means to be wise. So let's update that definition of wisdom just a little bit to something like, wisdom is living out the stuff that we know about God in everyday life. And living that out involves how we use our words. As Dal pointed out, there's over a third of the book of Proverbs that's devoted to words. It's very important. So there's so many Proverbs on it. I decided to choose one, and that's what we're looking at today, Proverbs 12:18. I'll just pray before we dive in, and then let's read Proverbs 12:18 again. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for your presence with us, that you are with us right now by your Holy Spirit, where we look to you for wisdom in all areas of our lives, and we just thank you that ultimately you're the one who has to teach all of us. So pray that you would guide us all in wisdom today, and that you would speak to each and every one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. We've all probably come across reckless drivers on the road. About a week ago, I saw an example of probably the most shocking driving that I've seen in like a year. And I hope it was no one from our church. But This driver was just weaving in and out of traffic, changing lanes, and cutting people off with hardly any space. I was concerned for everyone's safety on the road. This guy was, I'm assuming it's a guy, but who knows? This guy was speeding, and I just was like, if there's cops around, they would be arrested. But This person didn't care about their own safety, the safety of others. They just wanted to get wherever they were going and get there fast. They were completely reckless. Now, I hope that we aren't reckless drivers, but we're going to find today that we can use our words recklessly as well. We want to be the sort of people who speak encouragement and who bring joy to others with their words, who speak life and healing. But if you're anything like me, then all too often you find that you hurt others instead. You say things you regret. You speak without thinking. You want to say something positive, but then the conversation takes a negative turn and you end up actually just weighing people down. We don't want to hurt others with our words, but all too often we find that we do. So how can we avoid hurting others? How can we speak words that heal rather than words that harm? How can we become the sort of people who bring life with our words, who speak words of wisdom? That's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to look at 4 points today. We're going to look at words that hurt, words that heal, words from the heart, and finally, words of hope. I hope that's not, Dave, is that just automatically going to the next one? Okay, let's not do that. Technology, hey? All right, Proverbs 12:18, words that hurt. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. So the first thing we see in this proverb is that reckless words hurt. The words of the reckless pierce like swords. It's vivid imagery. It's not a little kitchen knife, it's a sword. It can cut, it can pierce, it can wound, it can cause serious damage. And that's even if it's not visible. There's a modern saying, kind of a modern proverb that most of us would know. Sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Well, anyone that's been slandered, that's been lied to, that's been put down or belittled, that you've been lied about, anyone who has experienced any of that can tell you that that's not true at all. Words can hurt. You might not see it from the outside, but the damage that words can do is very real. And we've all been on the receiving end of those kinds of words, reckless words. Now, where the NIV translates the Hebrew word as reckless, the ESV translates as rash, other translations say careless. It's the kind of words that we speak first, we think later, we just throw them out there. So how do we avoid reckless words? Well, one way is to stop talking long enough to become people who actually listen. We learn about this in James 1:19-20, where it says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Quick to listen, slow to speak. I have a friend called Dave, and when you talk to Dave, you know that he's listening to you. He's the kind of person who asks the sort of questions that actually help you to talk and to really say what you want to say. He doesn't jump to conclusions, and if he's unsure about something, he'll ask to clarify it. He's not just trying to work out what he's going to say next as you're talking, but instead he's actually listening and following along with what you say. Above all, he's really present in the conversation with you. He's quick to listen, slow to speak. So if we have that kind of attitude, well, when we listen well, we can avoid a lot of reckless words that hurt. So why not try this out next time you're in a conversation? Maybe it's when you're talking to me or whoever you're talking to after the service. Just try it for yourself. Just listen more than you speak. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. And if you're talking to me, feel free to pull me up on it if you feel like I'm not doing that. If you feel like I'm just cutting you off or jumping in, please correct me. But I'm going to be practicing this. Let's be quick to listen and slow to speak. If we do that, we're well on our way to avoid hurting others with our words. But what if someone hurts us? What do we do if we're on the receiving end of that hurt? It's great to avoid hurting others, but what if we're the ones who've been hurt? Well, our gut reaction can often be to want to hurt them back, right? There's a saying, another modern-day proverb, if you will, hurt people hurt people. And I think that's how we naturally often want to respond. But when we use reckless words to fight reckless words, we just end up with more hurt. We end up with a world of hurt. So how do we avoid shooting back those hurtful words just because we've been hurt? Well, one way, again, is to pause before responding. James helps us here again. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. When we respond in anger, it only leads to more damage. It doesn't produce the righteousness that God desires. Instead, what if we pause? We take a break from the conversation. We wait until the anger cools, and we come back to it when we're not angry. What if we don't do those off-the-cuff angry responses? And that includes how we interact online as well. I think a lot of us on social media, we find those comments that are just full of anger. People, when you see someone that you're talking to, it's much harder to be angry with them and to hurt them intentionally with your words. But online, it's faceless, and you don't really feel that damage. So let's do the same thing online. It's full of those angry, off-the-cuff responses. So for us, let's not add to that. Let's be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. So it's great to avoid words that hurt, but let's look at the second half of the proverb, words that heal. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And tongue here is just a synonym for the words that we say with the tongue. So reckless words hurt, but wise words heal. Now, it's easy to just gloss over that, but wise words heal. They don't just soothe the pain a little bit. They don't just reduce the hurt, but they can actually heal. Wise words don't just prevent damage, but where damage is done, wise words can undo the damage. They can actually restore what was destroyed. Wise words can heal. I think that's pretty amazing. The words that we speak can bring healing and put things back together. Well, reckless words might be strong enough to cut and pierce. That's strong. But wise words are stronger. They can heal. They can heal wounds. So what's more powerful, being able to destroy something or being able to put it back together? There's a Chinese proverb that says, even a little child can crush a beetle, but all the doctors and scientists in the world can't put one back together. It doesn't take a lot of skill to destroy something, but it can be very hard to put something back together. And here we're told in this proverb that our words can do that. Our words can heal. So where you've been put down, a wise word can lift you back up. Where you've been made fun of, a wise word can remind you of who you really are. Where you've been lied to, a wise word can point you back to the truth. And where you've been hurt, wise words can heal you. That's a lot of power in our words. Well, that's great, you might say, but what exactly does that look like in practice? What are these healing words that we might speak? What kind of words can encourage rather than tear down? Well, in Ephesians 4:29, we are told, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Only what is helpful for building others up. What we choose to talk about matters. When we choose the topic of conversation, we choose how to talk to each other, how we talk about each other, it matters. Are we letting unwholesome talk come out of our mouths, or do we choose to talk about things that build each other up, that encourage each other? I wonder if we just took honest stock of the kind of topics of conversation that we pick. What are the things we normally talk about? What do we tend to choose? Do we tend to choose topics that are crude or unwholesome or careless? Do we tend to choose topics of conversation that encourage others, that build others up? Do we find ourselves gossiping or venting more than we encourage? Do we fire off messages about someone behind their back instead of talking to them in person to sort it out? Do we, when we're online, do we share and repost the latest bad news story that we've been shared? Or do we share encouraging stories, like what's going on with our missionaries overseas? We can use Ephesians 4:29 as a test. If I'm thinking about saying something, is it unwholesome talk or is it helpful for building others up according to their needs? Not my own needs, but their needs, putting their needs above my own. Is it going to benefit those who listen? If it is, great, let's talk about that. But if not, then maybe we can choose a different topic. If we use that as a test, we're well on our way to choosing our words wisely. Or we might do our best to avoid words that hurt, and we might do our best to choose words that heal. But I wonder what is actually going on inside of our hearts. If we were to actually say out loud and share the things that are going on inside of us, what sort of words would those be? Let's look at that now. Words from the heart. Well, Jesus tells us in Luke 6, verse 45, a good person brings good things out of the good stored up in their heart, and an evil person brings evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. If the heart is full of anger, how on earth are we going to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry? If the heart is full of unwholesome things, how are we going to stop them from coming out? One option is we could try and censor ourselves 24/7. We could always try and think about what we're going to say before we say it. We could try and do our hardest to not speak reckless words, work our hardest to speak wise words that heal. But that's a heavy burden for us. If we try and just fix our words by overthinking it, that's actually going to weigh us down. That's just going to crush us. Censoring is not the solution. Let me show you why. Even if you try really hard, it's not going to work. No matter how hard we try to censor ourselves, we're going to slip up somewhere and say something careless, and we will hurt others anyway. I read about this politician, and this politician gave a polished, well-crafted speech with words that were weighed perfectly. Nothing embarrassing, nothing politically incorrect, well-crafted speech. But when the politician stepped off stage, there was a stray microphone that hadn't been turned off, and it picked up this careless phrase that the politician just let out, and it undid everything that they had said in the speech. I think that's what it would be like if we just try and censor ourselves. Eventually, what's actually going on inside of us is going to come out. So the real solution isn't a change of words, it's a change of heart. And that's exactly what God actually does for his people. Long ago, through the prophet Ezekiel, God gave his promise that he would give his people a complete change of heart. Ezekiel 36:26-28. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Not only does God promise his people a new heart, but he also gives his people his spirit to help us, to move us to follow his decrees and be careful to keep his laws. It's not by our own effort. We can't change our own behavior or words just by working on it ourselves. We need God to change it by his spirit. And it's Jesus who made those promises of God come true. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 20 says, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. In Jesus, all of God's promises are yes and amen. When Jesus went to the cross and died for us, he made those promises come true. He paid the price for all of our sins, and that includes the reckless words that we've spoken. He paid the price for that, so we don't have to carry around the guilt of our sins. Wherever we've hurt people with our words, we can know that Jesus paid for it. He's forgiven it. We're forgiven for the hurt that we've caused, but in the cross, Jesus actually also carried our suffering. So where we've been hurt, in the cross, Jesus took that upon himself so that we can be healed and we can be made new. Jesus rose to life again, showing just how far that can go. There's new life in Christ. And on top of that, we're actually given help on the journey. When Jesus had risen back to life again, he ascended into heaven and he promised his Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit came. And the Holy Spirit now lives inside of all of God's people to help us. He changes our hearts from the inside out, just as God promised. So it's Jesus who transforms our hearts. And as he does, more and more, we become people who use less words that hurt. We say more words that heal. And they actually become genuinely our words. They become words from the heart. In Jesus, God speaks his promises to us. God speaks words of hope. So let's land with words of hope. There are so many promises that God makes to us. And it's the words of God that ultimately have the healing power that we need. God promises salvation for all who believe in Jesus. Romans 1, verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. Jesus promises us rest. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus promises us rest. Jesus promises us life and life to the full. John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And Jesus promises us power to do his work here on earth. Acts 1, verse 8, Jesus says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Jesus promises us that power to do his work on earth. And he promises to come back for us and prepare a place for us. John 14, verse 2 to 3, Jesus says, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Jesus promises to never leave us. Matthew 28, verse 20, Jesus says, surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. This is my grandma's favorite verse. She will quote this at all times, at every single time I talk to her, she will say this. But it's true. Jesus is with us always, to the very end of the age. Because no matter how many promises God has made, in Jesus they are yes and amen. So we have all these promises to stand on. And that's just a few. There are so many more promises that God makes to us in the Bible. There's so many. And hearing those promises brings healing to our hearts. Even just then, saying them out loud, it does something. God's words are always wise. When we fail, God's words are always wise. They're never reckless. His promises are the ultimate words that bring healing. And the best way to hear them is actually through each other. God has given us a community, a family of believers. We can speak these words of promise to each other. We can speak these words of hope. Some of you are going through very hard things right now, and you're not alone because we have each other. We have this family to support and encourage. So here's what I'm planning to do. Every morning when I have my coffee, I'm going to ask God to give me one person to send one promise to. I'm going to ask for one person and then send one promise of God to that person. It could be anything. If you're stuck on what to write, you can write, Jesus loves you. Something that is true from the Bible, one promise of God for one person. So that's my challenge to all of us. Let's pick each morning, if you have your coffee, maybe you have a hot chocolate instead, or you just have a cup of hot water. Some of us do that. Ask God for one person, pick one promise, and send it. If you are stuck on who to send that message to, you can send it to me. I can always use encouragement. So... But imagine yourself on a tough day this week. It's a day that you woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and then everything just went wrong, and you're dragging yourself through life. You just want to get to the end of the day, as things go on, the day just goes from bad to worse. You're just going through the motions and life feels hard. But now someone sends you a message, a word of hope, one of God's promises to remind you of what's true. It could turn your whole day around. As a family of believers, let's encourage each other and build each other up. Let's avoid words that hurt. Let's speak wise words that heal. Please, God, let them be words from the heart. And let's remind each other of God's promises, those words of hope. Please pray with me. Jesus, we just thank you for your words to us. We thank you that you're faithful and that everything that you promise you will keep. We're just mindful of the ways in which we feel insecure, the ways that we sometimes feel like we're not sure if we trust you, the ways that we question and doubt your words. Please remind us today that you are faithful. Please remind us of your promises to us. And I ask that you would please be at work in us by your Holy Spirit to just help us to hold on to those words, to believe them, and to really know in our hearts that they're true. As we go out, please help us to be a community of people who encourage each other, who speak words that heal. Help us to mend the wounds that have been caused, and we thank you for your forgiveness for where we fall short. As we go into the rest of the day, thank you that you're with us, and you do promise to never leave us or forsake us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.